Good morning.
Good morning, Claudia.
My name is Tom. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. Glad you could join us this morning. I'd like to take a moment in silence for those who are not here, who are on the road or perhaps other places. Let's wish them safe journeys and joyous celebrations. I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word with today's opening message. I am divine love in expression. I am a creative spiritual being, and the substance with which I create is divine love. This includes the loving feelings I may experience as my day unfolds. These are important elements, but divine love exists deeper than feelings at the very core of my being. The Trappist monk and author Thomas Merton described love as an intensification of life. My life today is deepened and strengthened by the creative intensity I bring to every choice. It is only by allowing the substance of my love to shape my day that I can intensify my life experience and be a blessing to others. I am divine love in expression, and my heart is open to every opportunity the day will bring to share that love with others. Above all, close yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's Colossians 3:14. Let us remain seated while Eileen leads us in Surely the Presence. And that's located in the front of your songbook.
Thank you.
third Sunday of the Advent. I know, right? Switching it up here a little bit. Tom is catching up. So, today is the third Sunday of the Advent season, and this morning I lean, come forward to light the candles. I know.
We relight the candles of faith and peace. And on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. The reading is from a letter to God from Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity. Dear God, we are centered in your presence and power. Nothing can disturb us or dismay us. In the darkness, your light shines in the midst of uncertainty. Your light reveals the way. Dear God, we are centered in your love. We feel warmed and comforted. Centered in your love, we look at the world with eyes of love. We express love. We draw loving and happy experiences to ourselves. Dear God, we are centered in your strength. No hurt or unhappiness can stay with us. Centered in your strength, we are lifted out of sadness. We are set free from fear. Strength fills us and joy overflows us. Dear God, we are centered in your life. Every part of our bodies feel the touch of your healing life. Centered in your life, we feel quickened and restored. We feel the infilling of your changeless, eternal life. We are healed through and through. And from Luke 2:10 through 11, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Thank you, Eileen. I know you're all waiting. All right, let's stand and greet each other. If you'd rather not be hugged, then just stick your hand out and we'll shake hands.
Well, people are
I was seeing other people. Some of them are worried. Sing, George. Greetings.
Hi, George.
Well, good to see you. You got by me. That was one. Regularly scheduled activities are located on the calendar hanging up in the hallway downstairs. Anyone have any announcements?
Sophia's down there with her candy and cards in case anybody missed her yesterday, or last time.
Okay, so candy is just a small word that does not describe the way my mouth waters
when I have those little
pieces of chocolate.
It's actually melt-aways. You put them in your mouth and the peanut butter chocolate starts melting on your tongue.
Yeah.
And would you describe what it is she's raising money for?
She and her cousin are going to D.C. in the spring. And they're actually taking me, which is awesome. And New York. And they're going to do the thing that I hope every teenager gets to do. It's an important trip.
Very good. Yes?
I have the pieces for your speaking parts next week if you haven't gotten them. Also, our friend Bonnie is having additional heart problems and she is asking us to continue in our prayers for her, and she's grateful for us.
Can you do a quick synopsis for people who don't know about what the ceremony next week is about?
Yes, it's our Christmas service, and it's weaving together of the traditional Christmas story and Unity's 12 powers. And we will have 12 readers leading, lighting the candles and reading about each of those powers. And it's going to be colorful and wonderful, and the music's going to be fabulous. And please come. Bring your family and friends.
And that's on Saturday.
No, next Sunday at this time. Yeah.
What's happening Saturday night? Is there some Saturday night?
Oh,
Saturday at one.
Well, neither of them are here, but that is the. It's Saturday afternoon. It is the time to come and share stories about miracles in your life. It's led by Anitha and Derica, and there are going to be refreshments. And that's pretty much all I know. So let's come and let's find out more. I believe it's...
I am also thinking 2 to 4.
Okay.
And there are more details on our website. On a little post thing.
Yeah.
Short description.
Yeah. And I believe Anna
just
sent us an email as well. So
and if you're not on our email list, please let us know.
Our Christmas dinner, is that not next Sunday too then?
Yes.
Maybe we need to talk about that downstairs.
Okay, we'll probably do a sign-up sheet downstairs for all of the wonderful delicacies and treats that you will be bringing next week Think of me. I will be down in Houston being warm. But my thoughts would definitely be with you. And please join me in our unity statement, also located in your program. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Now please stand for our song of joy, the first Noel, and that's on page 267 in your hymnal.
We will be doing the first three verses. Incremental, almost unnoticeable steps. As writer Jack Kirst, that's a name I cannot say, put it, walking on water wasn't built in a day. As you work with the material, be patient. Praise yourself for each small gain you make. The journey involves letting go of fear, learning to trust yourself and others. Along with this process comes an opening of the heart to love and accept. The journey of transformation involves pain. The principle, no pain, no gain, is built into the system. Although there is no escape from this cosmic law, there is a type of suffering that actually enhances our existence. We grow because of our pain, not in spite of it. While you don't always get what you want, you invariably get what you need for your maximum soul growth. Never give up. Just when all seems hopeless, life can unexpectedly turn around. Never are you nearer the light than when the darkness is deepest. Help is available when you need it. Ask with all your heart, your prayers will be answered. Each person is born into a unique set of circumstances with challenges that are perfect for his or her growth and development. While Joan's important lessons lie in the area of work, Anne may be obsessed with relationships. One person's karma is another's grace. Everything that happens in your life occurs for your highest good. There are no bad experiences, only opportunities to use each experience as a means to get closer to God. In the end, we all reach that state of wholeness and completeness. Once the inner reality shifts, the outer reality will follow. As you change your thoughts, you will change your world. This is your challenge, to become a co-creator with the infinite and to learn to use its creative power wisely and lovingly. Claim your divine inheritance now. The universe can only say yes.
Please remain seated for our meditation song, Away in the Manger. And that's on page 270 in your hymnals?
271.
Had a
minor change.
Repeated, I am, over
and over repeated that. I am is present tense. And no matter what happens in your life, the greatest tragedies you may have ever faced, you live in the now. Where the I am is now. I am, that's now. That's present tense. And there's never a moment in your life or mine that is not now. It's always now. We're never in the past, and we're never in the future. We're always in the now. If you're facing some big problems, those are future, and you're not there. And maybe you've had problems in the past, but that's gone. You're in the now. And as long as you're in the now, you can say everything you've just said. And if you always live in the now, it doesn't matter what you face, you're going to be just fine. Live in the now. When Moses was facing the fiery bush, it was not being consumed. And he's being told he's to go back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out. And he said to this voice that spoke to him out of the fire, "Who do I say that sent me?" And the voice said, "I am. I am. I am." And Jesus is the great I am. And he said, the scriptures say, Jesus left us an example to walk in his steps, live in the I am, the now.
And as we alternate our Lord's prayers on Sundays, this Sundays we will be using the traditional Lord's Prayer, and that's also found in your as a handout in your hymnal. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Something more than that. Oh, we're in for a big trouble.
morning. It's because I want to present to you something a little different, and I think you're going to enjoy the journey with me. How many of you in the past have been in a church where on Christmas Sunday they put on the traditional Christmas pageant? You've seen that. Let's see your hands. Oh, sure. How many of you actually was in a cast, maybe putting on the drama, maybe when you're a child or a youth or an adult and you've been in a cast? Let's see your hand. Oh, almost all of you, a good number of you. Well, you're going to be in the cast this morning, but in our imagination. And we're going to do the drama, but it won't be the traditional Christmas drama that you're used to. For let us consider this. What if, so as I say what if, you know, I'm going to ask a question. What if questions can get us into trouble sometimes. What if you believe that, well, I won't say what if on this. I'm sure you all believe that God is sovereign. So if God is sovereign, then God could have become incarnate in the flesh, as the Bible would say, and the Christian teachings are, in the man Jesus some 2,000 years ago, a little village called Bethlehem. But what if, God being sovereign, he decided that he could do that any time during the history of humanity he wanted to, in any place in the world he wanted to? So let's just say, what if, instead of becoming incarnate in the flesh as a Jew in the Jewish culture 2,000 years ago, what if he decided he would come incarnate in the flesh as a Suquamish Indian or a Kalis Indian? We wouldn't use the word Suquamish. The Suquamish Indian. Yeah. And now we're going to put on the Christmas pageant, but it will be this morning an Indian Christmas pageant. And what's that going to look like? Well, the first thing we have to do, we have to choose our cast. So every one of you are going to be in this morning's cast. Oh, you're going to stay in your shoes there. You're going to do this in your imagination. But you may decide, well, I want to play the role of Joseph. Others of you might say, well, I want to play the role of Mary. And then there'll be some of you may say, well, I'll be the shepherd. Shepherd? Well, we'll find out about that in a moment. And maybe you want to be and play the part of the angels that came and gave the message to the shepherds. Oh, maybe you want to play the role of the Magi. So just very briefly, I'm going to be silent while you consider the role you're going to play. Oh, there's another role I didn't mention. If you get to receive a Christmas card in this season, it has a picture of the manger scene with Jesus, the baby Jesus in the hay in the manger. You might also send a card and pictures of sheep and a donkey and cattle and maybe even a camel. There, the animals. So maybe you're going to play a role of one of those animals. Well, how are you going to do that? Okay, now we've got you, you know the part. Some of you may play two or three different roles. You'll be in on the stage on one role and come back, change into your regalia, or you say costume. Now, when we play the Christmas play in a church, they usually say, well, they're wearing your different costumes. But in the Indian world, we wouldn't say costume. We were in our regalia, our regular clothing of that day and time. I brought some props with me we're going to use in this and on this journey. So let us begin. We're going to put this drama on, not just here. Let's just say that we put it on at Tacoma Unity, because they got a big, large church. I've been a speaker in there when they have that place packed with a couple hundred people in there. And so we're going to start where we'll be out in the narthex and ready to walk down that center aisle. We got to make our trip, Mary and Joseph. Oh, Mary and Joseph. Yeah, those are the two names, aren't they? Well, those two names are still current today. We still use those names. But it'll be Mary Singing Waters. So if you chose to be Mary, you're Mary Singing Waters this morning. And maybe it had to be Joseph. Well, but we'd never called Indian Joseph. We called him Joe. So Joe White Eagle and Mary Singing Waters. Now, we're going to make the trip to Bethlehem from our home in Nazareth on a donkey. Oh, but we never knew what donkeys were until the white man brought donkeys here. No, they went to Suquamish, Bethlehem, in a canoe. And so the way this drum is going to open, I'm going to step away from the mic just for a second, because we're going to be out here in the narthex, the people are all seated there in the audience, and we're going to start coming in off the side, and we'll come marching down, dancing really, dancing down to the platform where the drama will take place. We'll come two by two by two, because we're going to be dancing in, singing the Indian canoe song, paddling song. And as we're expecting that, with two of you, one on each side, you're going to be with your canoe paddle going this way, and we'll each have small canoe paddles, and you'll be paddling this way. And there'll be a number of you in two by two, and then there'll be Mary and Joseph, and there'll be more of you falling behind. The one that's leading the whole group, if I have a drum, beat the drum and singing, leading us in the song, but all of us will be singing as we come in. And you're all, the whole cast will be singing. And Mary and Joseph will come and be up on the platform, and the others will kind of, others of you will fade off to the sides, and even off to the side room to be ready to come back in, and in a different kind of a role. Now, we move in, we've got there, and Mary and Joseph on the platform. They've just got out of the canoe song, paddling song. Oh, I'll get back to the mic. And it's got to be the birth of the baby. So some of you women will try to take an Indian blanket and you'll spread it in front of Mary for a moment while the birthing song is being sung, a new life song, an honoring song, Indian song. Hold away, and there she'll be holding the baby. Well, now the next thing that we've got in our drama is that we're going to have where the angels said to the shepherds, a new king being born in Bethlehem. But sheep raising, we never knew what sheep were until the white man brought them to us here. No, sheep was a basic of that culture and economy 2,000 years ago amongst the Jewish people. But for us, it'd be fishing, fishermen. And so the spirit messengers, angels, spirit messengers, actually the word angel, some of you, maybe I've said this to you before, but it's good to repeat it this time. The word angel in the Bible is a transliteration, not a translation. It's just the word in the Greek language in the New Testament that the New Testament translated from is angel, angel. Alpha, gamma, gamma, epsilon, lambda, angle. Omicron, same at the end, same as first, masculine, first, the declension. But some 187 times the word angle, angelos, is in the New Testament. 181 times it's just transliterated angel. There are 6 times that it gets translated. And you don't even know it's using the word angel because it says spirit messenger. Well, that's talking Indian talk now. So, however you're going to be attired, if you chose to be an angel or spirit messenger, whether you want to see, like they put angels today in cards with women with wings on them, in our Indian world, the spirits are many times found themselves in symbols and the different kinds of birds. So in the meantime also, there's another aspect here. And because when the fishermen are going to come to Jesus, they're going to find that there are these animals all there around the manger. And as they are around the manger, well, how are you going to be dressed for that? Well, in our Indian world, it'd be with masks, our wooden masks. And so there might be the bear. You're wearing a bear mask, or an eagle mask, or a wolf mask, a raven mask. And these, you'd be there dancing, and then you'd be, that'd be the animals in the Indian Christmas pageant. Oh, talk about regalia. If you chose the part of being Joseph, then you'd be dressed in your regular Indian Salish, because Suquamish is Salish, and a ribbon shirt. You'd have your medicine bag, and you'd be wearing your cedar hat. Or some of you are wearing the masks of the animals there. And so when the fishermen come on, how are they going to be dressed? Oh, they're going to be wearing masks of maybe salmon masks. And they're dancing in with their salmon masks. And for the spirit messenger said, there's a holy shaman who's been born, who's born in Suquamish. And, well, after you get there to that point, it's time now for the Magi to show up. The Magi, they were powerful spirit men from the east. Oh, well, they, from the east, yeah, that'd be sacred shaman from the Yakima Colville country. Now, they wouldn't be dressed like we were dressed. We not only would be like Joseph, and be dressed in his ribbon shirt, and also his clothes have been maybe either made out of dog wool. We had dogs that were very woolly, and we would weave our clothing out of dog wool, or out of the sacred cedar bark. And that sacred cedar bark, you know, could be used in many different forms. His hat is made out of cedar bark. But the clothing you wear wouldn't be coarse like this. It would be that inner bark that had been chewed to where it's just as soft as the cotton you wear today. And it'd be all beaded. Well, but the Magi, oh, the sacred shamans from the Yakima Colville tribe, well, they wouldn't be dressed like we were dressed, but in this manner. They would probably come out dressed. Are you with me in this shaman drop? This is a shirt that I wore many times when I was younger and wasn't so heavy as I am now. Kind of hard to get on and off anymore. But it's out of the elk hide. Now, you see, we wouldn't wear clothes out of deer hide and elk hide here. This wet, rainy country, can you imagine going along all winter long and wearing wet, soggy leather? Our cedar clothing and our dog wool clothing would shed the water. But out on the plateau, the Yakima and Colville people, they would wear, you'd probably be wearing something like this. And along with that, you would probably, as a shaman, I could have brought my other one that goes the trails all the way down almost to the floor. But this, any of the leader, not only the chiefs, but the warriors, who were great warriors, and the shaman all, they would wear the feathered bonnet. We didn't wear feathered bonnets here on this side of the mountain, but they do on the other side. So they are coming in, and they are dressed. So if you choose to be a shaman, well, you're going to be the Magi, you're going to be wearing leather and beaded clothing and something like this. Well, what kind of gifts are you going to bring to this new baby? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? No. And we didn't even know what that stuff was before white man came here. No, you would bring gifts of maybe a salmon and maybe an eagle feather and some sage or sweet grass, kinnikinny. You'd be bringing Indian kind of gifts with you. And you'd be honoring this new holy shaman that was born in Suquamish. Are you really with me on this? Are you playing your role? Are you having fun with me today going on this journey? This particular drama, I've actually, in years past, I had a group of about 30 Indian people that we put this on several Christmases in a row in numerous large churches. And it's the same story, the same event, but it happened, in this case, in the Indian world. And what does that tell me? What is the one word that you can use that tells why these two different pageants are so different yet the same? That word is culture. You've been used to seeing it presented in the Jewish culture. And now I have given it to you, the same story, same event, in an Indian culture. And as I began to deal with this particular pageant, preparing a cast to put it on and all, it dawned on me then the tremendous power of culture in forming religions. For you see, religions do not change the cultures near as much as culture impacts and changes religions. So you take whether it's a Muslim culture or Muslim religion or Buddhist religion or Jewish religion or Christian religion, culture has had much to do with impacting those religions to be what they are. And so we come back now in my concluding thought to this very thought. Going back to what you all say every Sunday morning here, we believe in the principles and values and teachings of Jesus and others. We just experienced it in a Christmas pageant this morning. How many of you enjoyed being on this, a part of this cast today? It's fun to do things like this, because then you realize the universality of God. God is everything. God is everywhere. And God has much more in store for you and for me than we have ever imagined. Your life and mine is still facing the potentiality of greater things. Merry Christmas. Let us relax, breathe slowly and deeply. Relax. Go into the very innermost chambers of your heart, your soul, your spirit. Relax in the presence of the Christ Spirit. Enjoy the presence of God through not only the culture that you have been raised in, but the universality of God in all cultures. Know this, that at this Christmas season, sense this, feel it. you are, who you are, without forcing you to make any changes, accepting you just as you are in your own aspect of the culture that you have accepted for your life. Rejoice, worshiping God in this Christmas season, returning your gift of love back to God, the love that God gave to you. Allow your heart to sing. We would in our Indian world, our hallelujah chorus, we say the word hallelujah. It goes like this. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah in your heart, in your soul, in your spine, in your spirit, throughout this entire Christmas season. Merry Christmas. Let's go.
Thank you, Grandfather. You honor us with your stories and your wisdom. Now for our offering, there are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive.
Thank you.
choice for angels would be a flute.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now our blessing and thanks. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. For our healing prayer, you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And let's all say our prayer of protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or on the wall to your right. Together, the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. All is well. Let's end by forming a circle and joining hands and singing our song of gratitude. Thank you all for who made our Sunday service possible. Grandfather, Joyce, Jerry, and Eileen, and Jeff, and Tom. Please join us downstairs for food and fellowship.
As we get here in the circle before we sing, one thing I didn't mention to you, I said at the beginning, I showed you the list of all those Sundays I've been with and what I spoke on. But I went through that list to see if I had ever done this pageant with you before. I did once, about 10 years ago, and I thought, well, most of we weren't here then, so it's due to be done again.
Unity of Olympia is doing a winter solstice spiral walk on this Friday if anyone wants to join us. And it's between 5 and 8 p.m. It's well attended, so if you're coming, get there, because there are a lot of people going through that spiral, but it's a really great event.
Huh. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Let there be peace on earth.
That's all.
All right, little question.